We're going to go to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, on our midday devotion time. We're going to go back to verses 35 through 39. And Paul writes to the Roman church, he says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Those are Paul's words to the church. And last week we started talking about there's no separation because there's no condemnation. And the word separation was to divide or create a vacated space. And so those things we talked about last week, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, those seven things, Paul begins to use those things of what he presently experienced and has experienced. He says those things. Who shall separate? Who? Who meaning who will be used to try to separate us in tribulation? And we talked about those seven things thoroughly last week. Just to kind of review, the tribulation was that internal pressure. It's like that's crushing, that crunching, that pressure that pushes on our mind, constantly rubbing together. It just wears you down. Paul said tribulation, that's not going to do it. And he says distress, when you are in that narrow, confined space, or in that difficult circumstance, or not a lot of room to move around. He said, that's not going to separate me. He says persecution, to even being hunted down, persecution like an animal, to be conquered. He said, you know what? That's not going to separate me. Then he talks about famine, being hungry, being in scarcity, being in lack, not having what normally you would have. He said, that's not going to separate me. Then he says nakedness. If I'm exposed with no clothes and, I barely have anything to wear, I'm not going to be separated. Then he says peril, meaning in serious danger or risk daily. He said, that's not going to separate me. Then he talks about the sword, being stabbed at or being attempted to be killed. That's not going to separate it. So we talked about those things on last week briefly. And so today I just want to share the final part of that chapter 8, which is encouraging, because the reason why we're talking about it is because, we are not separated from God. He loves us so much that nothing could actually separate us from his love. And so we don't have to be condemned as believers. We don't have to walk in as feeling guilty, as though we don't deserve it. We know the grace of God causes us to have and access things that we don't deserve. And so, therefore, Paul is saying, in light of all these things, I'm still not going to be separated from the love of God. So what does he go on to say in that next verse, in verse 36? He says, "As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. For thy sake." And so just for a moment, looking at that, "for thy sake, as it is written," look at Psalms 44 and 22, if you will. Just go to Psalms 44 and verse 22. And share this with you. I think it's really cool. The psalmist writes these words. He says, "Yea, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter." Another translation says, "But for your sake, we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep." Why am I going there? Well, Paul writes, as it is written. One thing I would tell you about Paul that you should know if you don't know is that Paul oftentimes quoted Old Testament scripture in his New Testament letters to the church. That just tells me, it substantiates the fact that God's logos or written word is still applicable to the New Testament church now. Because Paul, he took it and used it for us to live off of today. And what I love about it the most is that Paul draws from what God already said, what was already written. He wasn't coming up with some new philosophy like people claim today, something new. Well, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So Paul is saying, listen, what I'm going through today, my brothers and sisters of old went through the same thing. Amen. Isn't that something? He said, I'm not going through anything that the pioneers, the patriarchs of old, the matriarchs of old did not already go through and accomplish it. And so Paul was very, very skillful and versed in the law and the word, and that he knew what it says. And so it just shows you how powerful God is, that God wrote, had words written and things done thousands of years prior to Paul coming. And now it's still applicable to the church today. That's cool. That is good. So he says, we are, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. And I looked at that word, we are killed all the day long. How many times can you die? Well, Paul says, in essence, in his mindset, we die. I die daily. Now, he wasn't saying at that time when he wrote it, physically he dies daily, but his mind, his mentality, his motive, he dies daily. But in Romans here, he says we are killed all the day long, quoting from scripture in Psalm 44 and 22. It doesn't mean that he physically died every day. Certainly, if he did, God could raise him up. Mm-hmm. But what he's saying is, in the Greek translation, is that he was saying we face death or danger that could produce death every day. Amen. Look at us now. We don't got to worry about that. In the United States of America, I mean, you could say you could live, you know, in the middle of Inglewood, but still, it's not compared to what Paul faced every single day. The potential danger and death. So he goes on to say, he's like, listen, this is nothing new. They face it. I'm facing it now. I face death every day. Now, notice how we talked about last week, the sword, the Makata. He actually faced people wanting to kill him daily. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to protest you. Right. Not only am I going to I'm going to kill you. Notice they did it to Jesus. There were attempts to kill Jesus, but the Bible says on one occasion he slipped through the crowd. They couldn't even touch him. Yep. He slipped through the crowd. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. And so here is Paul now saying, you know what? We are as sheep, accounted for the slaughter. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what happens with sheep going to the slaughter, right? Yep. You die. So he's viewing his life like a sheep getting ready to just be slaughtered. Mm-hmm. Jesus. I'm just painting the picture to show you that Paul's commitment to God was so tight that this physical, material world had no influence on how he was going to serve God. And so he goes on and says these words, and I love this here, you know, going from 35 into 36, now 37, he says, nay, in spite of, beyond all these things, we are more than conquerors. So the word nay is kind of like, in spite of, beyond all this, in lieu of what I just told you, and how dangerous it is, how tight a space it is, how life is. He said, still my mindset, this is why I'm going here today, because it said, in my mind's eye, I'm still more than a conqueror. Yes. I'm facing death daily. I face famine. I face nakedness. I face peril. I face sword. I face distress. I face tribulation. Yes. But even beyond all that stuff, which is terrible, which is gruesome, which is toilsome, I'm still more than a simple conqueror. Now watch this here. More than conquerors. What does that mean? It's a breakdown of two Greek words, hyper, nikao. And the word hyper, if you, is compound of two Greek words. Hyper is beyond. That's what that word hyper means, beyond. Nikao means conqueror. So in Greek, and you put those two words together to compound, he said, I'm beyond that. I'm more than a conqueror. And so what it means in our English vocabulary is that in Christ, when he says we're more than the conqueror, We are an overwhelmingly surpassing victorious person. So in our terms today, Paul was saying, I don't have to wait till the referee says the game is over, you win. If you ever watched a sporting event sometimes, and they go back, and they can go back now, and they could check the clock, and they can look at the screen, and they can, you know, well, the game's not over yet. We want to make that final call. We want to review it. Paul was saying there don't need to be no review. You don't have to go back in and see if I was inbounds or out of bounds, if it was a fair catch, if it was a touchdown, if it was a home run, if the clock was still good while the shot went in. We won the game before the game began.
That's right.
That's what Paul is saying here. I don't need a referee to determine if I won or not. The day that I stepped on the court, I won.
Jesus.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
The day that I stepped on the field, meaning the day that I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I won.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what the referees say. Doesn't matter what the opposers say. Yeah. We wins. That's what more than a conqueror simply means. Yeah. I'm beyond just winning.
Yes.
I crushed you, Satan. Right? The heel of my foot bruises your head. Just like the seed of a woman. Isn't that something? Would bruise and crush him. And that's so good, because Paul is saying, in lieu of all this, and I tried to paint the picture as if you would see, man, what a terrible life. What a way to live. Paul is saying, that don't separate me. I'm still an overwhelming, victorious Christian. Yeah, isn't that good? That's some good news there. And for us today, it's like, wow, the present stuff that we deal with is nothing.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
It's nothing. And if I view my life like Paul, I'm more than a conqueror.
Yes.
I don't just win. I annihilate the enemy.
Yes.
I said this months ago. I win by slaughter rule.
Mm-hmm.
You remember slaughter rule growing up? You know, we played Little League and Pop Warner football and all that. And if the score got to a certain point, it's slaughter rule, man. We're not going to humiliate the opponent any longer. Well, here, I want to slaughter them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to stop until Jesus comes back, all right? So that's that scripture there. He said, nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Now, how do you view yourself every day? Just to take a moment to share together. Do you view yourself as what Paul said? In all that you face. Now, let's be honest. We face things in our life daily.
Amen.
Weekly.
Yes.
Monthly. There are periods of times when things come at us. Tests and trials come for the word's sake. Things are going to happen. The weapons will be formed, but they won't prosper. Do we immediately take the mentality of Romans 8 and verse 37? Do we say, I'm more than a conqueror?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we consider that moment like, oh, wow, God, I can't take it no more? The mindset. When you face trouble, the mindset, how do you respond to tribulation? How do you respond to distress? How do you respond to persecution? How do you respond to famine? How do you respond to nakedness? How do you respond to the peril or the sword? Is your first instinct, I'm more than a conqueror? Is your first mindset, I win? Overwhelmingly, I'm still a winner. Or do we have to battle with that thought, oh God, you got to help me through it? See, your immediate response is, in Christ, you win. Now, once you declare that and you get that settled in your mind, now you walk through that tribulation as though you're a winner. Right? Or as we've said before, you walk through that tribulation as though you are a victor, not a victim. Okay? There's a difference on going through something being feeling like you're a victim. It feels like, man, all the weight's on your shoulders. But if you're going through something and you know you're a victory, you're victorious, you go through it and you still might have stuff on your shoulder, but you know what? You carry it as though it's not there.
Amen.
It's not that we don't have problems, but I don't need to announce my problems.
Amen.
You know what I mean? It's not that I don't need the prayer. I solicit the prayers, but I don't need to walk around and let people know I've gone through a test of tribulation. You know, I want to look like I'm hurt. I'll get more sympathy if I look like I'm going through something. Quite the reverse with me when I deal with Christians. And I'm just speaking apostolically. When I see a Christian that wants to show me how bad life is, I'm less prone to help you because you show me you're weak in your faith.
Yes.
So what I can do is help you now in your faith. Not, I'm not going to, it doesn't make me want to, okay, let me get my wallet out. Let me help you. No, it shows me, let's build your faith. Because if a person really needs help, Holy Spirit would touch my heart. And I would see, even if they don't tell me what's going on, I can discern, you know what you're going, let me be a blessing.
Yeah.
For instance, has anyone ever came and done something for you that didn't know what you were going through and you're like, wow, thank you, I needed that. Mm-hmm. Phone call, text message, kind word, a card. Maybe someone came in, here's $20, or hey, here, let me do this. How did they know? You were going through something, you needed it right there. You didn't tell no one. You were going through like a soldier, victorious. And God put that person in your pathway to help you. That's a real believer. That's one that is strong. And so I believe that. Any questions on that? Your thoughts or comments concerning that? How do you deal with your life? Do you have the more than conqueror mentality? Because things are going to come. It's not a question of if. It's just a matter of when they come at you. Do you declare, I'm more than a conqueror? If there's any word I could put in your heart today, is whatever comes your way, declare Romans 8:37. Yes. Nay.
Amen.
In all these things, I'm still more than a conqueror.
Yes.
I think that should be a word that we just post up. Nay. In all these things, I'm still more than a conqueror. You know, when people are going through, because we don't go through every day. At least you should. I mean, come in as Christian, you know what I mean? You know, but if you do, you got a scripture for it.
Right.
Have a scripture for everything. Even when things are going great. God, I thank you. Yeah. Hallelujah. For your blessings. But here, Romans 8:37, commit that to your memory. Commit that for that time that reminds you who you are.
Amen.
Okay.
Good.
Any questions or comments? I'm going to move to the final part of this. The last two verses, 38, 39, if there are no questions or comments concerning that.
Just real quick.
Yes, sir.
In verse 37, there's some good news. After getting all these things, we are more than conquerors. So now Paul has made us aware what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, through him who loves us.
That's it.
Yes,
yes. So I didn't got a double portion. Paul has made me aware, but oh, by the way, you are a conqueror through him. The one and only. So I'm like, come on.
That's good
thank
stuff.
Thank you, Paul. But I'll take that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the good part of that thing.
That's an encouraging word. I remember the song. It said, you love me through my good, you love me through my bad.
Yeah.
And Paul is saying, through him that loved us.
Yeah.
It's not saying that he don't love us anymore,
right.
But he loved you through that tribulation. He loved you through that persecution. He loved
right.
you. It's like through all that,
right.
God was still yeah. in love with you.
Yes. Thank you, God.
And this brings me to the last two verses, which in the words of a man I know, he said, it makes my liver quiver. It's so good. It's like, woo.
Yes.
I'm looking at this and I'm going to talk to you from a God perspective today,
Jesus.
Not a Paul or person perspective.
Jesus.
Just a different way of looking at it. Okay. It says, for I am persuaded. Now, Paul is saying, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Paul said, I'm speaking for you.
Yeah. Mm.
Yep.
He said, I'm persuaded, but then he says, you'll separate us.
Yes, sir.
So he's saying, for those that are attached, those that are part of the apostolic, you know, realm of which we're building here, we're all together. I'm persuaded, and if I'm persuaded, we all.
Yes, yes.
Are going to be connected to the love of God.
Yes.
All right? And that was an apostolic decree by Paul there, because he was speaking right. for his whole team of people, all those that you know, he was building and sowing into. But look at how now he says this here. He starts off by saying, I'm persuaded. The word persuaded simply means to be fully convinced.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just fully convinced. He was convinced, but he trusted and believed.
Yes.
Like, you can convince me something is right by what, but I still might not believe in it.
Right.
It worked. But here Paul is saying, I'm convinced, But I'm confident and I trust totally in it. So you can't sway me by situations. I'm fully convinced. All right? So get that one in your spirit. I'm fully convinced. I trust in it. You can't separate me from it. I'm planted in it. I believe what the word of the Lord says. So he says two things first, death or life. Death or life. He says that neither death nor life. Now, I'm looking at it from a God perspective, not just a Paul or person perspective. What does that mean? Well, Paul is saying, from my perspective, death or life is not going to separate me from the love of God. I love you, God. And look what he says. In this word, death or life, he's denoting here both physical and spiritual death. Yeah. How important is that right there? If I look at it from a God perspective, meaning to die or to live, both physically, spiritually, God still loves me. Get the point? I'm coming from a different side. Paul, on his side, or our perspective, says, God, death or life will not separate how I feel about you. Well, let's look at it from God's perspective. Yeah. We were spiritually dead. Mm-hmm. And it still didn't separate God from loving us.
Mm-hmm.
You guys see what I'm saying now? You see the point?
Yep.
Sometimes we speak from a Christian point of view. Yeah, God, I love you. But remember when you were spiritually dead and you didn't love God, but God loved you? Mm-hmm. So Paul is not only saying not how I feel about God, but it's also how God feels about me. When you didn't love me, I still loved you. So he says death or life. OK, so as Paul is saying, whatever happens, both physical, spiritual, you know, if death happens in the physical, God still loves. So if some loved one passed, God still loves you. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, to judgment. So, you know, we all have to face that road. And people might, you know, religious folks might come up and they might say, well, what about Elijah and Enoch? Well, there are two in the Revelation that are coming back. And those two will be Enoch and Elijah.
Yeah.
And Revelation says they are going to die. So it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. That's for Revelation teaching. We'll do that one later down the road. But so Paul says, first of all, death or life, both spiritual and physical. But then he goes on to say angels, nor principalities, nor powers. So here's Paul saying both sides of this. Now, Paul is saying Satan's angels, his demons, and all of his heavenly and earthly powers will not cause me to separate myself from God.
Yes.
So whatever Satan throws at me, Paul's saying, it won't cause me to separate. But then the other side of that is God is saying, whatever Satan tries to do to you, whatever his demons, whatever the principalities, the powers, you know how Paul talks about that in Ephesians 6, you know, the principalities, the powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Paul is saying, through God's eyes, it's still not going to change how I love you.
That's it.
It's not going to change.
That's it.
Whatever Satan tries to do in this world, because Satan's the god of this world, right? It's still not going to change how I feel about you. So in both perspectives, Paul is saying whatever devil's demon, whatever it is, principalities, powers, God is saying whatever devil, principalities, powers, whatever it is, angels, fallen angels, still cannot change how I feel about you.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
Okay? And what are these angels, principalities, powers? These are the dominions and authorities that are evil. So whatever evil is concocted in the heavenlies, God says, doesn't affect my love. Will not separate you. Paul says, I won't be separated from you either, God. We're connected.
Yes.
Then Paul, and look at Colossians 2:15. Let's look at that scripture real quick here. I think that's a good one just to share in there, in that little bit of nugget. Because Paul addresses the Colossian church at 15, he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled them. Spoil means he conquered them. Paul is talking about Jesus. Jesus spoiled all demonic dominion and authorities of Satan by doing what? How did he spoil them? Well, he dethroned or depowered them of having power of sin over us, How did he do that? He made a show of them openly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he did? He took back the keys from Satan openly.
Mm-hmm.
He went down into Hades and he led the captivity captive openly.
Mm-hmm.
He triumphed out of that situation openly. And so Paul here is simply saying that angels, principalities, or powers are not going to separate. Why? Because Jesus already triumphed over them.
Amen.
That's living in the finished work, guys.
Yep.
You ever heard that word before, the finished work? Living in the finished work means that I continue to live in what Jesus already accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
He spoiled principalities and powers.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul comes along in Romans, he says, well, guess what? Angels, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, that's not going to separate me either. Because he has a revelation.
Yes.
Jesus already spoiled them. Okay? And it's not going to change anything. And right, going back to Romans. Man, this is good how Paul just kind of. It's like Paul's on a roll here. You ever see someone that's on a roll just flowing it? And Paul is just flowing. He said, listen, I want to tell you something that neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing present, nor thing to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. It's like he's just on a roll. Nothing. You ever heard a preacher get on a roll before and it just, man, you just, God is just using you. God was using Paul right there on a roll. So he says the next thing. Nor things present, nor things to come. Note what how he speaks this, and I just want to insert this here. He don't just say things present or things to come. He said nor, in each case, nor. He's making a point here. Nor that, nor that, nor that. Anything. Okay? So what are these things present and things to come? Well, Paul is insinuating here that present day persecutions are not going to separate me. Future trials and tests are not going to separate me. What does that mean? Well, essentially Paul is saying nothing is going to surprise me enough to cause me to turn on God. Nothing. Right? We've seen some devastating things in our world. You know, we went through the period of the floods, the tornadoes and all that, you know, this past year, and people lost everything. One of the most beautiful sights is in the midst of all that flooding in Houston and people losing things, I remember seeing a picture of a woman praise dancing when she had lost everything in the middle of that water. Like, I'll praise God. I'm saying that's Romans 8 and 38. Things present nor things to come. It's going to separate me. Nothing is going to separate me. That's when you know who really believes. Now I promise you, I'm sure the people that lost things were distraught,
sure.
Cried, hurt, pain. It's part of our human anatomy, our emotions. But there is a real side of us. The real us is the spirit man. You rise up and you say, you know what, although this is what I suffered in the natural, I still love God.
Yes.
I'm still not separated. You know why? None of those material things brought us to God. A car didn't bring me to God. A home didn't bring me to God. Money didn't bring me to God. You know what brought me to God? Faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That measure of faith that was dealt to every man, that's what brought me to God. Realizing that God had grace over our lives for all that time, you know what? It wasn't a man that brought me to God. It was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so living that life, when Paul says in another area, set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth.
Yes.
He's saying when you focus on heavenly things, whatever happens in the earth won't cause you to lose your focus on God. But if you build your house on things or you build your life on things in this earthly realm, when the earth begins to shake and things begin to kind of move a little bit in your life, your life is shaken. Why? Because you trusted in those earthly things more than God.
Yes.
So just the perspective, nor things present, nor things to come.
Yep.
And then finally, he goes on to say, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. What is he saying here? Paul is covering the heaven, the earth, and even beneath the earth.
Yep.
He's saying hell can't mess up my love. Whatever happens in the heavenlies, the earth, or beneath the earth, Now, you know there's a war going on in the heavenlies every day, the first and second heavens, things that we don't see. There was actually a war this morning over your life that Satan was trying to stop God from doing what he needed to do.
Right.
We didn't even see the war, but you won.
Thank God.
Paul is saying, whatever's happening up there that I don't know about, guess what? Still not going to separate me. And then we come in this earth realm and we see a lot of things happening, still not going to separate me. Whatever is going on in the hell range and the hell beneath the earth, it's not going to separate me. But then he goes on and he says something that astounded me even beyond that. He says, nor any other creature. What is he saying? Anything created, any created being. He's not just saying humans, but any created being. It's not going to separate me. Nothing is going to cause me to fold. The last part he says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. All of God's love, notice this here, is in Christ.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's the word. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of God was poured into Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth and released it to us.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
You want to tell me you're not nothing? Phew. Yes, you are something.
Yeah.
Yes.
All of God lives in you through the presence now of Holy Spirit, whom Jesus sent to be our comforter.
Yes.
You have access to everything you need.
Yes.
It's just a matter now of teaching all of us how to go into and sow into what all we already have. You know, what kind of baffles my mind is that sometimes when we need help, we search outside before we search inside. What does that mean? I look for someone on the outside. I look for something on the outside instead of saying, God, in me rests the power of you. So let me now get into me, meaning into you, God, in me. And God now gives you the strength and revelation and knowledge. And then he shows you, right? Bible says, is he that gave me power to get wealth? He shows you how to do that when you first do an inner inspection. All right. So you have every answer in you. Now that answer might be outside, but it's first in you. God gives you the wisdom. Okay. He connected me with the answer on the outside. But I first sought it inside. I knew that, first of all, what I'm going through, there's an answer for. So I love the part, the last part of that. That's why I looked at that, which is in Christ. In Christ. The love of God is in Christ. All of God is in Christ. God did not leave nothing out or unattended to when he sent Jesus. He put it all in Christ. So everything we need is in Christ. And so you might say, well, how do I access the in Christ? That's why you need the Holy Spirit. Notice in John writes these words. He says about Jesus, I must go that another comforter will come. I'm going to send you another comforter. He says it about 3 or 4 times in chapters 14, 15, I think in 16 or 14, 15, another comforter. Everything we need is in you.
Yes.
Are we willing to search our inner heart?
Mm-hmm.
Are we willing to search the real us? How do you guys feel about Paul's words? I mean, I've heard these things years, and it's always encouraging. But it's something about knowing that Paul was saying, God, to you, nothing's going to separate me. But if I look at the reverse, God is speaking to me. Guess what? Nothing is also going to separate me from you.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to show you today, the God perspective. Whatever we've done in life, God said, whatever we're going through in life, God said, I'm still here. I'm still with you.
Yes.
Hebrews says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is important.
Mm-hmm.
That Paul would make these words available to us in our life today to say, nay, in all the things that you're going to face in life, you are still more than a conqueror beyond what you're going through. And that, my friends, is today's word. Any questions or comments?
It's a good word.
It's kind of good to just go through.
Wow.
It's good that you were saying that because it just made me think that he's just looking for us to after we done gone all around, searching and looking, I'm still looking for you to just look to me.
That's it.
Believe in me. Trust in me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you said, we always want to go all around and around the corner, around the block, you know, or ways that are comfortable to us. But in the end, he's ultimately just saying, after you do all that, I'm still telling you to just look to me, trust in me,
yeah.
Believe in me.
Yeah. Makes me feel like I'm a winner every day. It encourages me every moment of life.
Yes.
As long as I'm walking in Christ, and even when we didn't know, that was the key.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to bring you the other perspective. Even Paul says life or death. When we were dead in our sins, Christ loved us.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
He never stopped.
Yeah.
There was no breach.
Yes.
There was no shortage. David Jeremiah says these words. He said it all the time. He said he loves you. God loves you. Always has. Always will. And what I love him most is God doesn't have to increase his love. His love has been of the most choicest type of love from the beginning of time. So it wasn't the fact that when you went through something, he loved you less. His love has always been pure. Man, it baffles the human mind. Because we change. I love you less because you did something I didn't like. I don't hang around. I don't do because something I didn't. God said, all that you did, my thoughts toward you, my love toward you, never shifted. That's why you can go through, folks. But that's another reason why you have authority in the earth, too. I speak concerning Paul. Paul was saying, I had authority in this earth because this earth don't determine my fate. Any other questions or comments?
I would say to the point, when we talk about love and what you were saying, Pastor, so true. You know, we do different things and whatever, and God is still like, oh, bless your heart, I still love you. But even to the point of loving Judas.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Judas decided that he was going to hang himself. not Jesus, but even to the point.
That's a good point.
Of loving Judas. Even to the point, and you know, I say this with great respect to our the 6 million Jewish brothers and sisters that were killed, but even Hitler, Jesus loved.
That's a good point.
Now, he gonna have to deal when it's time to deal, but Jesus loved. So in my little brain thinking, and I'm not trying to compare because, you know, God doesn't, you know, one sin ain't greater
come
than
on
another,
now, yes.
But my point being, I ain't Judas.
Right.
Okay? I ain't Hitler, so I'm doing pretty good. Okay? To the point that even the stuff I may have done or have done, he still loves me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Man.
That is a very powerful...
That's...
To even compare that to Hitler and how God would see Hitler. And how the world thinks of Adolf Hitler as, you know, and what he did was gruesome.
Terrible.
But if Paul were here during that time, he would have said, that's still not going to separate me.
That's it.
So that was a very great point that Jesus with Judas. Even you said that, even Jesus with the soldiers.
Yes.
When Peter struck the ear off.
Yes.
Peter was trying to kill that soldier.
Yeah, he was.
Jesus showed his love and said, no, put that back on.
Yeah.
Think about it, the love. These are men that wanted to kill Jesus.
Yeah.
These are the ones that were going to crucify him.
Yes.
And Jesus said, you know what? I love you.
Man,
that's that's something.
Yes.
That's something. I always ask the question, I wonder how the guards felt the next morning that were guarding that tomb. When the body was gone. But then to discover, because Jesus didn't go to heaven for 40 days.
That's right.
He still was available.
That's right.
He was seen, the Bible says, this is the Bible, of at least 500 plus people.
That's right.
I got to imagine some of them guards or something, you know, they got winded. I wonder how they felt, the ones that crucified him, beat him, spit on him, nailed the nails in his hand and his feet. I wonder how they felt. This man loved me.
Yes.
And I tried to take his life.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even Paul, Why does Paul have such a heart desire to show that, to teach that? Because Paul was on the opposite side of Christianity.
Yeah.
He was holding the coats of those that were stoning Stephen.
Yeah.
He was the main persecutor of the church trying to stop. He was standing, the Bible says, in the way. The way is that place where you walk through the blood there to show redemption. You were standing in the way to try to block people from being redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And now the tables are turned.
Yeah.
He said, listen,
yeah,
I've experienced what it is to be on the opposite side of God. I know what true love is.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And all of us here today have experienced the opposite side of God. Because we were at some point in sin.
That's good.
So that was a great point.
Paul was a bad brother.
Yeah, he was.
Jesus. And turned out to be a bad brother in a good way after Jesus.
Absolutely.
Oh. Well, that's a good point, Apostle. I forgot about that. Yeah, that brother sure did.
So Paul really spoke.
Yeah.
From the heart.
That's good.
But if you remember from Psalm, he also quoted what God had already said.
Yeah.
So everything Paul is writing comes from the truth of the Logos.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments?
I'm selfishly glad that we got a little intimate with Apostle here today, because, man.
Well, today is Valentine's Day, right?
It would have been a great word for everybody. You know, you have that thing where, man, I wish everybody could have heard this one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Literally, yes.
But you selfishly, wish. I'm thanking Jesus I was here to get it, so.
That's the interaction of midday.
Yeah.
And so to those that might be listening, because I'm going to post it, it's always on our website, maybe a day or two after. If you can make it during here, this is interpersonal. Yeah. This is personal. If not, you can listen to it.
Yeah.
I will admit, it's not the same as listening to it as being here.
Yeah.
But we've experienced a lot today, and I thank you guys for just being open to conversate.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to pray on this this 14th day of February, Love Day, right?
Yeah.
What better scripture than Father, we thank you today, Lord God, for the words of Apostle Paul, that nothing shall separate him from the love of God, which is always in Christ Jesus. And even on today, this 14th day of February, Lord, that we celebrate Valentine's Day, a day that is filled with love. Lord, I just would ask the question now. I wonder how many people really know the love of you. I really wonder, God, how many people really are taking the time, Lord God, to appreciate your love.
Mercy.
And God, really, in order to really be able to love one another the right way, we got to love you.
Yes.
And so, Father, we love you today. And because of that, we can express our love one toward another.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray that Paul's words today were encouragement to us, not just today, but Lord, even in that time of persecution, of tribulation, of famine, of sword, of nakedness, all those things we talked about, God, we will rise up and say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so, Father, that's our word. That's our decree today. Romans 8:37.
Yes.
It becomes the poster of our life.
Yes.
That we are victorious in everything.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, we just bless these awesome men and women of God.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.